Sister Rosemary Nyarumbe is part of an effort called Sewing Hope. She believes she's doing more than teaching girls to sew. She's helping them stitch their lives back together. Sister Nyarumbe is a Catholic nun and humanitarian who's dedicated her life to helping girls held captive by the warlord Joseph Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda. She runs two schools there where the girls are taught to make purses out of the pull tabs on soda cans and other training to help them earn a living as they heal.
Sister Rosemary Nyarumbe has been named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People, and her work can be seen in the documentary Sewing Hope on Netflix and online at sewinghope.com. She's speaking tonight in Madison at 7:30 at the Overture Center. Sister Rosemary, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, can you tell us how you first got started helping children, girls who were former captives of Joseph Kony?
It was a long process of thinking of what to do next in a very difficult situation, because I personally came from northern Uganda, and that's where I was brought up. And the war started just when I knew all about it. And all my life I experienced the different wars in Uganda. But this one was the worst one so far, because the rebels really turned all their target towards women and children. And that is really what I saw was very bad. And it was for me like women were used as a weapon of war, and children very young were also used as sex slaves. And the Lord's Resistance Army actually evolved from Holy Spirit movement, which was started by a woman. And when the woman went away, Alice Lakwena, who was a cousin to Joseph Kony, who is the current leader of the Lord's Resistance Army rebel, he took over, and they started targeting women and children, especially abducting young ones in order to increase their army. And this is when the rebels became very, very infamous, as first of all, they thought they were fighting an existing government. But of course, to fight a government, you would not target women and children. And that's how they became very, very infamous. Once they abducted these children, they would take them in unknown destinations, especially South Sudan or other places, and the women would be used as sex slaves. Even children, very young, especially girls, they were more prized by these rebels. And the women and children went through a very, very painful situation, and some of them managed to escape to come back to their home country. And of course, when the children managed to come back, the society was scared of them. They were afraid of them because they were all known as murderers or children who were brainwashed or trained to kill, because the rebels used kind of tactics of abducting the children and bringing them back to their communities and forcing them to commit atrocities. And in that case, people really looked at these children as potential killers and murderers, and everybody was scared of them. This is exactly the situation where I started operating. I sent a radio announcement because I knew some of these young women were by themselves in town. I did not know where they could go. People were afraid of them. I invited them. I said, come to St. Monica, to the school we are running. And I actually did invite them to come to school. I was giving them a kind of home atmosphere, a family where they were accepted, where they could again rebuild their broken lives.
So the Lord's Resistance Army had abducted women, children, and when they returned, it sounds like you were there for them. Can you give me a sense of how many of these former captives you were working with and how many there were?
No, up to now, I should talk of 2,000 children or women so far, because the number kept on increasing and increasing. And it's so, so difficult to keep track of everybody who passed through that center, because we really let it open to come for people to come in. Even children who are running away from their families, from the communities, children who are known as night commuters. And actually the international community knew them as invisible children. We had a lot of these children coming to hide in our school. Every day we would house like 500 children hiding from the Lord's Resistance Army, because they would go to villages and abduct these kids. So these children would walk long distances to look for safe places. And one of the places where they were hiding was, again, St. Monica.
Can you tell us about some of them? Some of them, it sounds like that there were just so many of them that they came and went. But can you tell us about some of the stories, the people that you met, and what they told you about what they'd been through?
You know, I meet so many of these children, young women, up to today. And of course, before coming here, I met one woman who was with me for a long time. And after she went out and settled by herself, Victoria by name, this girl was abducted from a very far place, not even in Gulu itself. And she was abducted from another tribe. And later on, she was forced to learn the language of the rebels. And she was trained as a soldier. She was used as sex slaves. And later she became pregnant and got a child from one of the rebel commanders. But this girl narrated her story. She said when she gave birth by herself, a very young girl at the age about 16, she gave birth and she had nobody to help her to take care of her child. She said she felt her baby would die, but she didn't like to part with the baby. And she managed to escape with a one-week-old baby. She carried the baby on her back and held a gun in her hand, and she escaped. And she said the gun was to protect her from anybody who would intimidate her on the way. And actually, she told me when she crossed into Uganda from the Sudan, the people she met were Uganda army, the soldiers from Uganda government, and they commanded her to come to them. And she said, I commanded them to put down their guns before I could go to them. And so they respected her, put down their guns, and then she walked to them and handed the gun. And this girl was brought in a rehabilitation center very far away from Gulu itself. And I was invited to go and pick up one boy who was abducted from our orphanage. We had 26 children abducted one time from our orphanage. And so I was told one of the kids, a boy, was in that rehabilitation center. When I went, I found this boy. I was speaking with him in his language, which is totally different from the language spoken in that area. And so this young woman had me speaking that language, which was also her language. She came by and said, sister, I also speak that same language. I was abducted some many years, and can you take me with you? I was so moved to see how miserable this girl was. And she told me, I have a baby of 1 week old. Can I come with the baby? I said, yes, you can come with the baby. I took her in, and this boy, and this was way back in 2005. And this woman was with me all the time. We took care of the child. We brought up the woman herself. We trained her, gave her some skills. And later on, she decided that she was going out to try to settle on her own and look after her children, which I thought was quite good. It was a good sign that she was getting over her pain. But I kept on following her, and I realized that this girl still lacks something. She didn't have education. She has no means of supporting herself and her children. And so we decided to help her with the skills we gave her, like making purses, making beads, to sell and get some money. Still, it was not enough. She decided to get married to somebody. And I had told her before getting married, I said, you do know that your marriage is going to be temporary. First of all, get married to the skills we're giving you, because this is the way you will support your children in future. And so this girl understood this. After a short, I think about only 5 years, she went on with the man she married a second time, and the marriage broke. This girl started going through a lot of suffering with the children, the two children she got from, the first one from the rebel, the second one she got when she came out. And so this woman keeps coming back to me. And just before coming here, she came back to me asking me, sister, I know I'm trying my best to support my children, but I'm not able to continue paying the school fees for two of them, which I totally understood. And I told her, I say, who are you not able to pay for? She said, the first baby. And of course, that one has no father. The father was one of the rebels. She was actually forced intersex to get this baby. And so I told her, I said, bring back, that's my baby. I'll take care of her. And so I sent the girl back to school in order to give support to this woman and also to relieve her.
Sister Rosemary Nirumbe is a nun from Uganda who works with children who are former captives of the warlord Joseph Kony. And you've gotten attention around the world for what you've done, the stories that you just described there. You're teaching these women, these girls and children skills so that they have a trade, that when they come back and they start to maybe recover and move forward with their lives, that they have a way to make money. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Sewing for Hope.
You know, one thing which I always want people to know is that When these young women come back home, everybody looks at them like trash. They don't consider them worthy of even anything. And so I try my best to make them understand that we are going to rebuild their lives, but they must take it. They must be able to cooperate with us, because I see clearly that their destiny is in their own hands. That's why I emphasize practical skills, because I know they did not go far with their education, and there would be nothing much we could teach them except practical skills. And that's how I tried my best to look for all ways. And when we started making purses, collecting pop tabs and making beautiful purses from these purses.
The tabs on pop cans.
Yes, I actually have them. And we sell to people. The money goes back to these women. But what I tell people clearly that the pop tab passes are very significant of women sewing back their brokenness. Because we are collecting trash and putting this trash to become beautiful. And these women are also considered as trash in the eyes of many people. And walking through them and getting them to bring back their dignity by working together, I think is a great significant that we could use the analogy of a needle. We say, a needle can mend broken pieces, put them together, like any cloth you would put on, even if it's a rug. If you mend them, they would look beautiful. And I totally look at these young women as rugs, as people who could be mended. And that's why I tell them, make sure the trash we are having is going to be your triumph. We are going to move from trash to treasure. That's why I very much value every trash I find, and especially the pop tabs, which can be used to signify these women.
Sister Rosemary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sister Rosemary Nyerumbe is a Catholic nun and humanitarian from Uganda. You can find more about her work at sewinghope.com. She's speaking tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Madison's Overture Center.
Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time.